You're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com, bringing you the freshest radio in Brooklyn since 2009. Hear directly from chefs to farmers, artists to architects, authors to brewers, and everyone in between. Check out all of our shows on our website or by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store.
I'm Sam Edwards. I'm third generation cure master from S. Wallace Edwards & Sons in Surrey, Virginia. We support the Heritage Radio Network because we believe in the cause and what they're doing. They're supporting family-raised livestock, small family farms, certified humane, pasture-raised, antibiotic-free. Basically, we take the products from Heritage Foods USA and make them into Serrano-style hams, prosciutto-style hams, bacon, sausage, like my grandfather did. You can find us at SurreyFarms.com or VirginiaTraditions.com.
To You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Helen Holliman, back for another fabulous week of radio in the back of Roberta's restaurant in Bushwick, Brooklyn. I can never get that out right. It's a tongue twister. I'm joined today by two out of the four ladies behind the fabulous website known as Gastronomista. Did I properly pronounce
that?
Yeah,
you got it.
Okay. I have Miss Emily Arden Wells, Miss Raimi Lee Park, also known as Miss Emma Emerson and Ariadne Axe.
Yeah.
Ariadne, is that?
Got it.
You're doing great.
All right. You know, I'm not always the best with words. Thanks so much for joining the show today.
Thank you for having us. We're super excited to be here.
Totally.
Yeah. Well, and we're missing co-founder Jennifer Pelka and Gemma Gray, whose name I don't know.
Her real name is Jessica Puzio.
I love all the surnames. It's great. it's very, like, I don't even know.
The ad control.
Yeah. So for those listeners who are unfamiliar with Gastronomista, go to their website, gastronomista.com, immediately to start perusing and see what it's all about. You all have recently been featured in the September issue of Glamour magazine. You've graced the pages of Elle magazine, Urban Spoon commercial, BlackBerry.
Yeah, BlackBerry commercial.
Haven't you done?
There's still lots to do.
Lots of lists of things to do.
We've got incredible goals. Yeah, well, you guys are insane in a good way because you really define the term Renaissance women. I mean, I've been Google stalking both of you.
Yes, because we've been Google stalking you too.
Truth comes out.
Totally not creepy at all. But you wear many, many hats. Do you both mind giving a background of what you do, you know, beyond the site? And then let's get into how the site came about.
Sure. I'm a filmmaker. I just graduated with my MFA from film school. So I do that. And along with that, I write. And I'm also designing and launching a line of independent jewelry in the fall.
We're wearing today.
I am in love with
the line called Ariadne Axe from her
After a Gastronomista.
Yeah,
her so cool. Wait, what are those animal?
Those are wooden tusks.
Wooden tusks. Okay,
yeah,
but
super cool.
Oh man, and your earrings. She's wearing these amazing sort of, I don't know how I would describe them, like
spiky drop.
Yeah, drop earrings.
Earring types.
Really, they're really awesome.
Look forward to that. It should be launching in the fall.
Yeah.
Good God. Okay.
And I'm an architect. I currently work for David Adjaye, and I'm working on the Smithsonian and the African American Museum. I'm also a graphic designer and executive editor and co-founder of Gastronomista. So I'm very busy.
Do you ever sleep?
Yeah, I do.
We like our fingers in lots of pots.
Yeah.
I'm so appreciative. I think you're definitely making Martha Stewart, you know, run for her money for sure. Because you've covered just about every creative
But Martha. Martha's a god.
She is a goddess. But I'm just saying, I think you guys are the next generation.
I really hope that we get to that level and are able to kind of take over the world as she has. I mean, she was one of my heroines when I was a kid. It's actually pretty funny because, you know, I think stylistically and taste-wise, I'm very different now. But, you know, the production of those magazines and her books and her shows, it's so well considered on every single level that, you know, it really is an inspiration. And she's super powerful.
Yeah, she's
the
lady. I know. They're kind of untouchable.
I know.
So, Miss Emily, tell me a little bit about like how the site came about, the story of it, and your background beyond architecture.
Well, Jen, who we're missing, who writes under the pseudonym Daphne Duquesne, we've been friends for years, and she is a bona fide foodie. She's currently the managing editor of Guilt Taste, and she's also worked for Danielle Ballou, and as well as in many other restaurants. So, you know, we've been friends for a long time, and we would always go out and have a good time, and we'd throw these dinner parties and, you know, just mess around with different recipes and entertaining methods and styles and themes. And, you know, we had played around with the idea in 2007 of Gastronomista, and the article came out in the New York Times, and she bought the domain name right away. And so we had it for 2 years just sitting there. And then after I graduated from architecture school, and she had a break in her career, and we were like, let's do it. So we just sat down one weekend and we hammered it out, and that was in October 2009, and you know, we've just been plowing forward ever since.
And for those who don't know about the New York Times article, can you explain that a little bit?
It was basically just a definition of new words that were hitting
or like in the cultural zeitgeist. They were like showing up, people were saying these new sort of
and Gastronomista was one that came up that was about women who were basically making a business out of what they ate the night before. And you know, she was just super lucky that she got it. She was super aggressive.
It's amazing. Yeah.
But it's, I mean, the only thing that is a little bit weird about it is that some people can't remember the name of it. But you know, we'll just say it over and over.
No, it's a great name. I would love to know like how people mispronounce it.
It's
other
hilarious.
Than myself, I'm sure.
Yeah, most of the time, people don't even get that far. They're like Gastronomica,
But that's also a magazine, right?
Gastronomica. Yeah,
Gastronomica. So it's like, oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Right. No, that magazine's really cool too, though.
Well, so all right. There's no great way to describe it other than the way you can describe it better than I will. But I would say it's almost like blog posts about food-related artwork, fashion, recipes, sort of where all of these things collide. Mm-hmm. And
you describe it as a art and design blog that focuses on the culture of art and of
food and drink.
Wow, I just totally botched that. So it's about the culture of it all and, you know, the other things that are surrounding the food industry. You know, there's so many sites that focus on recipes and restaurant reviews, and we try to do everything else. And where we're going now, which is what I think is super exciting, is doing less blog posts and actually making more art.
Which I definitely want to get into in a little bit. Before that, though, you know, what are some areas that you guys are pulling from inspiration for your blog posts or different things that you're writing about?
Well, the thing that's great about all four of the girls who write for the blog is that we all come from really different backgrounds and all have really different interests and tastes. And so that feeds into the kind of things that we write about. Like, for example, as a filmmaker, I started writing on Gastronomista, mostly doing posts about, like, movies that had great food scenes or like, you know, dinner in a movie or like scenes from a movie that were just like really perfect. There's this one that I posted early on about like Grace Kelly and she's like eating potato chips. You know, it's like this sort of like finding these sort of gems in movies, which were fun for me to find as well. And so I think that's a big part of where the sort of diversity in terms of opinion comes from, is that we all come from really different places. And what's funny is three of us are friends from high school and we've just been friends for a long time, but we're still really different and have different backgrounds. So I think that adds to it naturally without trying too hard to be like, oh, we should try and hit this beat or we should try and cover that area. It just kind of happens naturally because we're all so different.
Do you have, what are like your top three cinema food scenes?
That's like always one of those questions that makes my brain explode. And every time I try, I'm like, oh no, I've got to narrow it down more. Like, what's the best scene with like noodles, you know, or like what, like I have to get even more specific because it's like too crazy. But one of my favorite scenes of all time is in the Wong Kar Wai film, In the Mood for Love, when Maggie Chung is sashaying down the stairs in a slow motion, getting her like lunch noodle takeout. It's just mesmerizing, but it also has this, I mean, like kind of sensory feeling. Like I can smell the soup and the scallions and like feel the steam. It's like that's feels like eating to me because it's tactile, it's right in front of me. So it's like whenever there are scenes like that in movies that I feel like I can smell and taste, that's always a good one.
Emily, do you have a particular favorite film
scene?
I'll just go out and say it. I have been watching My So-Called Life and I totally forgot about Graham, the dad, and all of he's Mustard. Always cooking and always eating, but they're always making meat. They're like doing meatloaf and spaghetti sauce and anyway. That's the, I guess
there's
that would
some
be.
Pretty funny mustard scenes there in there if I remember correctly.
Yeah, yeah, we had a post about mustard in My So-Called Life. Yeah, I think like a year ago or something.
Something like regular mustard is just basic, and then all the other varieties are what was it? It was just like pure fetish or something.
It was something,
like, it was something
kind of
super
sexy,
sexual.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah,
we'll have to dig that up.
No, totally. It's kind of shocking because I've recently been watching it and being like, oh my god, it's all about food when it's not Jordan Catalano. So,
which is not bad either.
Yeah, I mean, we all love Jordan Catalano. So okay, there's so much to talk about. I have a twofold question for you. Where are you eating now? And why? And what are you eating now? And why?
Ooh. Well, one of my favorite neighborhood spots is here in Brooklyn. It's called River Deli, and it's a small Italian place run by a Sardinian couple. And the food there is just really fresh and really great. And it's totally affordable. And, you know, it's a place where you can get, like, a really good bowl of pasta. It's just, you know, homemade fresh pasta, just really good. So I've been frequenting that place.
I don't know. I mean, I've been going through this phase of like really wanting to cook at home and make things for myself. Cause I feel like while I was in grad school, it was all just about like takeout and whatever was convenient and whatever was around. And as soon as I graduated, fast. I was just sort of like, listen, like it's totally possible for me to get fresh produce really easily, fresh local produce, you know, and like my boyfriend and I started composting in our tiny little apartment, which takes some finagling, but we're doing it, and like trying to grow our own little herbs and stuff, and like there's excitement in like making something with your own hands, even though it's really simple. So I've been trying to do that a lot more. I haven't been eating out as much, also just, you know, the economy, but but it's been really fun to like rediscover making food with my own hands, you know, because I feel like I never really got to do that as much. And I come from a super foodie family, like make your own tofu, pick your own chilies kind of family. So for me to be getting back to that feels right. It feels good.
Have you mastered kimchi yet?
No, it's very hard.
Yeah, that scares me. I feel like I would make my kitchen explode or kill myself.
I mean, it's possible. It's explosive.
Yeah.
It's
kimchi is so good.
It's alive. It's delicious. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. Are you of like the camp, like, do you think it should be buried under the ground, like hardcore?
Well, I'm Korean, so yes. Yeah. Yes, buried in a stone pot.
Yeah. Yeah. Emily, if you were going to make it, would you bury it or would you just kind of...
I don't even know where to start with kimchi.
Yeah.
I'm too white.
Well, that makes both of us. But we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we've got more from two of the ladies from Gastronomista. And keep your station locked to Heritage Radio Network. You're listening to You Look Hungry. Not like my number, but in everything I do, I am a child. Even a child.
Money.
If you're just tuning in, you are listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Helen Holliman. I'm joined by two out of the four musketeers. That's not the right term.
Musketeers.
From the amazing website, gastronomista.com. Miss Emily Arden Wells, Miss Raimi Lee Park. Hey, ladies.
Hey, girl.
Still here. Thanks for joining us. Tell us what that song was. They hand selected it for the break. What was it?
It's Jenny O, Okay Honey, and she's an LA-based artist who's very talented
and has amazing bangs. If you've seen the music video, we were just talking about that. Also, you guys are really good dancers because they've been doing really great like hand motions
if
in the
good,
studio.
If by good you mean hysterically funny because it's bad, then okay, we'll take it.
I mean, if I ever get married, I'm totally hiring you as my wedding dancer.
Done.
We're there.
Done.
So before the break, we were talking about a bunch of things about the website, but okay, let's shift gears a little bit and talk about where Gastronomista is headed. You've started to do these bespoke events. What are those events? How did you get into them? What are you doing?
So the first one was for a gallery project that was, it's called Something I Ate. And for that one, we did a plexiglass and lollipop installation that spelled out hashtag sweet. And it was our social commentary on Twitter. It was our giant hashtag that you could eat. But we handmade all the lollipops between myself and Jessica Puzio. And they were all made with root liquor. We had a spicy root, a salty maple root lolly, and a root beer float lolly. And they were all really good.
That sounds
really
amazing.
And then on the back of that, we did an event for Guilt Taste. And for that one, we had a salty margarita, bourbon with noble maple syrup, and a Campari with blood orange, which was really slamming. And we also had a peach Bellini with long pepper. And that one was also really, really good. And so they were all really good. We also did a piece for the glamour shoot, but that one didn't quite make it in to grace the pages.
It landed in the pages.
But it's on our website. And right now, Raimi's done 3 films.
Yeah, I did. I'm starting to do some like food related video content, and I started doing some stuff for Guilt Taste, which was a lot of fun. But something that Emily and I have been talking about really for a long time is trying to create more of our own original video content on Gastronomista, whether it is something that we do or something that where we collaborate with other artists, other video artists. Like, we're really interested in not just like starting to move away from like aggregating as much, and we're making our own content, because that is really where all of our hearts are to begin with, you know. And so it's just something that has taken time for us to figure out, like, how do we want to do this and what do we want it to be? But it's organically starting to move in that direction, which is really exciting.
Yeah, now we just need to get the time.
Yeah. I mean, when you're not doing your 8 other jobs. Well, so yeah, Raimi, you've done Guilt Taste videos, the Good, the Bad, and the Leafy, which is a spaghetti western, a spicy tribute to Bollywood, and Dancing Salts of All Shapes and Sizes, which... For those listeners out there, go to guilttaste.com under the stories section. They're insanely amazing. Oh. How do you do those? I mean, they're so meticulous. They're stop animation, right?
One of them is stop animation, and the other two are just extreme close up. I mean, everything was shot on my kitchen tabletop. So
that's
it's like
crazy,
you know, because it's like little salt shakers dancing, or, you know, we used fresh produce for the western, so like, you know, my actor isn't going to be any bigger than a corn cob, so like I can handle that on my kitchen table. Like, I don't need a studio for that. So it was fun. It was just like a month of experimenting and shooting with different kinds of food and different kinds of lenses, and it was really, I mean, it was fun for me to also try and play with some like film conventions and genre that like don't show up in my own personal work. Like, I love westerns, and I've always loved like the ideas and the conventions of the western, but I've never really used it in my own work. So it was like fun to play with it a little bit and see if I could, you know, just try it out and see if it worked. And the same with stop motion. Like, stop motion is something that I've always wanted to
try, and it doesn't really have a place in the kind of work I'm doing right now. So I was like, let's try that. You know, it was also an opportunity for me to play with my food, basically. Basically, I spent all July playing with my food. And taking pictures of myself playing with my food.
And so now we're trying to take a lot of those concepts and a lot of the lessons learned from that project and roll it into bigger film projects. So we'd be collaborating with other artists and also basically developing bigger installations to house those films so that they wouldn't just be, you know, they would have a longer life than on the internet. So
Right. That's
what we're developing right now. And, you know, we're just trying to secure funding and trying to
get to the next step,
make it happen.
Yeah. Well,
super exciting.
It's amazing. And, you know, what's great about all four of you, and in addition to the other, you have contributing writers who, you know, contribute mm-hmm. now and then, is that you're all so multifaceted, and you're such, you all, as you've said, come from different perspectives in food and in life. That's so corny to say. But, you know, visually on the site, there's this theme of kind of an old-timey air to it. And I'm interested to know how you came upon that theme and what does that signify for you as modern ladies in the food world.
I mean, we definitely play on that new old dichotomy and try to exploit it as much as we can. I think that the generation of the design of the site basically was, you know, we looked at some sites that really inspired us, one of which is the Philadelphia Independent, which is now defunct, which was a newspaper that I think was sold for $1. And it was a really beautiful newspaper. It was huge, and there were hand-drawn cartoons, and each of the title heads was a different silhouette, and it was a really amazing publication. And I don't think it lasted more than probably 2 years, maybe three. I don't even know. But so I've kept a couple of those just for my own design record. So we definitely looked at that. And then it's just kind of built on itself. We wanted it to feel nostalgic, but also very modern and clean and, you know, feminine, but also kind of masculine too, because we don't want to...
It's like old, new, high, low, lady, naughty. It's like we always kind of like dot, 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 like towing that line.
And our voice is definitely very sassy. And we use all of those themes in our writing as well. We try to, you know, step into our characters as these hostesses and you know, use more flowery language than we would otherwise.
Hence the sort of nom de plume names for each.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
That makes total sense. So, you know, that being said, there's, you know, again, you are creating, you're sort of defining food culture in our age group as a really strong force amongst women. And, you know, who are some other women within the culinary world or even in the art world or whatever? I don't care if they're doctors that make cocktails at night. Who are some people that you look to for inspiration who you think are really changing the game?
Jennifer Rubel, for one.
We're a huge fans of hers.
Yeah, she's amazing. So she's definitely one. And then there's been some other artists who've been popping up. There's two film artists in LA that have been doing some really amazing work, and we're talking to them about collaborating. And who else other than, you know, Martha?
Your mom's
well
yeah,
I mean
sure.
I come from a family that's like, I mean, super matriarchal. It's like I grew up with my maternal grandmother, my mom, and my two aunts, like all in the same building. And it's like, For me, I think I grew up in a way appreciating and loving food because I didn't know that there was a way to not appreciate and not love food. You know what I mean? Like, so for me, it's almost alien when I meet somebody who's like, I just eat to survive. I'm like, what? What? You know? And like,
and
I just
always comes back to mom.
Oh yeah.
And you have good
totally.
Food on the dinner table every night. You know, it just builds up that appreciation for food and culture of food and family.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so many of my memories growing up have to do with sitting around and like making food together or enjoying food together or really, it's either you're eating it or you're talking about eating it. I mean, that's my family. So it's like, really? To me, it's not even, I can't even imagine not being that way.
My family also has a pretty interesting cocktail culture.
Really?
We're definitely into the cocktail. So that's definitely played into the blog. We do a lot of posts on cocktails and liquor brands and things that we like and love and things that are delicious. And so that definitely kind of hits home for me.
What's like a collective family favorite booze drink?
Oh man, my dad makes these amazing dark and stormies.
They're so good.
And then recently we've kind of topped it. We've been making our own ginger beer.
Oh my God.
At home. My boyfriend really has been slaving away over that. So he has his homemade ginger beer, and then we use the Canton, and we have, you know, dark spiced rum and
fancy.
They are dark and stormy. You've been around for a couple of those. Those are,
yeah. The dark and storm.
The next day is dark
named,
and stormy.
Aptly named cocktail.
Yeah.
Beautiful, violent, delicious.
So I want to know, are there any upcoming bespoke events that you'd like to tell people about or reveal, or collaborations we can wait to see and find out about?
We don't have anything secured. We're developing a couple things, but I think at this time we'll just have to wait and see. There's definitely stuff in the works, though. There's a lot in the works.
Okay. Yeah, you're already taking over the world. Every time I come on the website, I'm like, oh my God. I know. What am I doing with my life is what I feel.
Oh, like. You can come
in a good way.
You should write for us. We would love that. You can have a pseudonym.
I need to start.
We're all gastronomistas.
This is true. What? You just dropped some serious philosophical knowledge. I can't even handle that. I don't know. Listeners, take that moment. Take it in. If you want to know more about the ladies, check out gastronomista.com or the September issue of Glamour with Rihanna on the cover.
Is I know, that not right? Bad, right? I was like, what?
Also, I love the red lipstick in the spread. It's really, it's a great color on all of you.
It was critical.
So thanks again for joining me today. I really appreciate
us.
You coming on. And I've included both of their personal websites on the website youlookhungry.com. So go check out their information. But again, Raimi Lee Park, Emily Arden Wells, thanks again for coming on gastronomista.com.
You
are listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Helen Holliman. Thanks again for another week. And tune in next week. I'll be back. Take care.
This is Behind the Scenes Food News with Katie Kiefer. There's a lot of posturing and talking around raw milk these days and how great it is. But if you really want to get a full-on investigation into the pros and cons, the risks and benefits of raw milk consumption, here's a nifty website, www.realrawmilkfacts.com. It has a laundry list of FAQs, along with information from studies and reports from American and European science communities. If you flirt with raw milk consumption, this is definitely worth taking a look at. This is Behind the Scenes Food News with Katie Kiefer.
Every spring at the end of kidding season, goat dairies across the country are faced with the question of what to do with their male bucklings. Because on a dairy farm, there's no role for a male. Often the most economical thing for these farmers to do is to cull the animals at birth or ship them off to the commodity market. Heritage Foods USA is embarking on a new project, No Goat Left Behind, looking to step in and fill this niche by creating a marketplace for these male bucklings. Visit us at www.heritagefoodsusa.com to learn more and to reserve your goat this coming October.